This is Shannon Ray Davis, and you are listening to Omega Man Radio. Welcome to my world, the world of the Omega Man. Join us here for the nightly marathon, broadcasting Monday through Friday. You can find us here on YouTube, and we encourage you to report for duty. Get trained up. War of the Saints is coming. You want to be an overcomer and endure till the end. We will teach you how. We cast out devils. We command healing to the sick in Jesus' name. And we preach the full gospel of Jesus Christ to win souls for Jesus. I want to encourage you right now to subscribe right here on YouTube to this channel. Smash the like button and share a link to our live chat room to everyone you know right there on Facebook. Get them to come on out and tune in and join in the fight against the host of hell. If you'd like to support this work financially, we have a PayPal button on our website. We have GoFundMe, Zelle, even Take Bitcoin. And we thank you in advance for partnering with us. Our website is OmegaManRadio.com. One more thing before we start tonight's show. To the demons tuning in, we're coming for you, demon. No demon is safe.
I'm there.
Right. I got you. Okay, praise the Lord.
Had some trouble.
That's okay. We're having trouble across the board tonight. Blog Talk Radio is down. MixLR has been on the blink. And we've got four Mega Man speakers either sick or hospitalized. So it's a battlefield tonight.
I was in the hospital last week for 2 days.
Oh, well, that's five then. Lord Jesus, have mercy. How are you doing? Did you recover?
Well, yeah. Almost. I had vertigo real bad. I couldn't even get out of bed Monday. And so Wednesday and Thursday, I was in the emergency room down at the VA hospital. And I'm doing better today. I got out today and did some work and everything. But I just have to watch it. If I'm sitting down and I try to stand up real quick, I get dizzy.
Well, here's something I recommend you try. Have you ever used cayenne pepper?
Yeah.
So, do you use it on a regular basis?
No. Okay. We usually use it when we're fasting.
Okay. So, start using cayenne pepper every day. Get about a quarter teaspoon, and you can work your way up. But essentially, just you get some organic red cayenne pepper. I can send you a link and get on Amazon. And in the morning, put a teaspoon of that into a cup of water and drink it. And it's a vasodilator, but it's a safe one. It will not irritate the stomach. I mean, you could eat copious amounts of it, and it's not going to upset you. It's not the same as black pepper, for example. But cayenne pepper, being a vasodilator, will open up your arteries and will make sure you got blood flow to the brain, to the extremities. It's nutrition for the heart. It has so many great uses, and Dr. Barbara O'Neill, in closing, who's a naturopath and a Christian believer, does not travel anywhere without it because she saved another number of people's lives who were in the throes of stroke or heart attack. So, circulation, diabetes, potential for heart attack or stroke, this is the greatest supplement you can take. Better than an aspirin, better than any prescription drug. And once I begin to use this, I swear by it now. And I just had some this morning. Sometimes I forget, but you can't go wrong taking cayenne pepper. Also, people with neuropathy, where they're losing some of the feeling in their extremities, they need this especially. And that will open up the blood flow. Some of them also may need a like a poultice of cayenne pepper that they put right on the site. But When I heard about this and tried it, I'll never go back. It's something I'm going to keep with me till I meet Jesus. It's great. And We know all the advantage we can get, especially today when people are dropping like flies from heart attack and stroke and blood clots. I mean, it's on the rise. So hope that helps somebody out there. And it looks like...
Hello?
There we are. We're back. Internet.
I lost you.
Yep, my internet went on the blink. So just stick with me. We got the recording going, okay. So even if it goes off for a second, you'll be back on. Okay. Hope that information helps
somebody.
Send me
that link.
Absolutely. And
tomorrow.
If you don't take anything else out there, and I'm talking to everybody, take your cayenne pepper every day. Of course, I take some other supplements for the heart, cardio cocktail from Dr. Sinatra, who is a cardiologist, and cutting edge of supplements. And that's my background before Omega Man Radio anyway. I used to be in the formulator business, and we'll be getting back in, hopefully, at some level.
Okay.
You know, God created all these herbs for the healing of the nations.
Yeah.
So when you find out which one works for what, well, praise the Lord. We've got an extra tool in our toolbox to keep going for Jesus. Amen?
Yeah. Yeah, they did CAT scans on my head and my carotid arteries and all that, and they said there was no blockage. They did an EKG. Said it looked like I had a heart of a 25-year-old.
Oh, that's great. Hey, praise the Lord for that.
Yeah.
And, of course, stay away from all seed oils. That causes hardening of the arteries and Alzheimer's. Stick with coconut and olive oil, maybe avocado oil. So that's one of the greatest improvements any of us can make to our diet, if you're not already doing it out there.
Yeah, I got a friend of mine. He cut out carbs and sugar and oils, and he said he feels like a 25-year-old.
Well, absolutely.
He's lost about 40 pounds.
You do want good fats. Butter's good, olive oil, and avocado. It's just the seed oils. All those other oils and the lard that we grew up on, you know, they actually are made through chemical extraction processes. They're not natural, and they will harden the arteries, and that's why we've got a plethora of heart attack and stroke, not to mention people took the death shot out there, and that's killed millions.
So,
stay away from that,
that's
too.
That's true.
I'm just saying in general to everybody out there. Look, if Jesus did not take the shot, then I don't need it. The only injection I want, vaccination, is the blood of Jesus. What do you say to that?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We do want that vax. Get vaccinated against sin with the blood of Jesus. Amen. Okay, that's my micro sermon. We're ready to go. Looks like all systems are ready. My friend, the mic is yours. You want to open us in prayer?
Yes, sirree, I sure do. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to go on the radio and Father, just to be able to bring your word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have of sharing your word. And we pray, Father God, tonight that souls will be able to receive what the word is tonight, and that the Lord, your Holy Spirit, will teach us and minister to us and show us areas in our life that situation needs to be corrected. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that we got the internet up. And so, Lord, we come tonight and give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor, and we ask you, Holy Spirit, to teach us. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as normal, we go on here, and Shannon always wants me to let you all know how you can get a hold of us. And we're in Highlands, Texas, right on the east side of Harris County, where the city of Houston is. We're just 21 miles from downtown Houston, right out on I-10. And anyway, it's 1609 Jones Road in Highlands, Texas. Telephone number is 281-843-4000. And you can get a hold of me at drphilipmorse.org. That's my webpage, and there's a email address on there that you can use and get a hold of me. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, it's been a while since I've been on here, but I got the Lord spoke to me last Sunday when I was at church. We had a guest speaker at our church, and while he was speaking, the Lord was speaking to me and giving me this message, and I felt like it's something that we need to think about as Christians, as children of God, we need to be thinking about this. And at the end of it, we're going to do a little bit of deliverance, okay? So, but here's what the entitlement of this is. Are you following or abandoning the call? See, now let's go to Matthew, the 4th chapter and the 18th verse. We'll talk about the disciples' calling and an example of what life will be like when they follow him. Okay, here, Matthew 4:18, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people." So, I'm going to go back and work on this a little bit, but I want you to go to Luke, the 5th chapter, and just keep your finger there in Matthew, but Luke, the 5th chapter in the first 11 verses. We're talking about the calling of the disciples, when he called the disciples. "And so it was, as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats standing by the lake, but the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitudes from the boat. Now when he stopped speaking, he said to Simon, 'Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch.' But Simon answered and said to him," now I want you to think about this. These are professional fishermen, okay? They're professionals. That's what their living was. And there's on that lake all the time, probably just about every day. They was out there fishing. They'd said, and here they'd been out there, and Jesus going to tell a professional fisherman how to fish, right? He says, you know, "Launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a catch." And Simon's, he's going, "Master, we've toiled all night long, caught nothing. Who do you think you are? I'm a professional fisherman. We've been fishing all night long and haven't caught anything. What do you think this is?" And he says, "Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net." And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. I want you to understand that. I want you to remember that net was breaking here, okay? We're going to come back to that later today, too. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat, "Come and help them." And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." I mean, you talk about instant backfire on you. Here he's going, man, you know, he's saying, "We're professional fishermen. We've been fishing all night long. We haven't caught anything. You know, who do you think you are anyway?" He said, "But, okay, I'll do it just because you said so." It's almost like he was saying, "Yeah, I'll do it just to prove you wrong, you know." And Simon was that way. He's kind of hot-headed like that, you know. And then he realized what happened. And man, he said, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord." I mean, whoa, bam, just like that. He saw that you don't talk against Jesus. You don't talk back on Jesus like that. You know, and it says, "For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they'd taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, 'Do not be afraid. From now on you will catch men.' So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all and followed him." Now, I thought this was really interesting. See, the calling here, he said, "Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men." And in Matthew, it said they immediately left their nets and followed him. I mean, there's no question. Boom, okay, yeah. You know, we've been at this fishing all the time. Yeah, fishers and men, that sounds like a little better deal. I don't have to clean them like I do these fish, you know. So, yeah, they immediately left their nets and followed him. And then James and John immediately left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, I thought it was interesting. If you look at this, here James and John was in partnership with their dad. They had a boat with their dad. It says immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, Luke 5, whenever they get the same calling, we see here that James and John were partners with Simon. And so it's kind of interesting. These guys all helped out each other and worked with each other, I guess, in order to get this business done. But he said, do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. Now, here's what I'm looking at and the example of what life would be like. Here they'd been fishing all night long. And he said, you know, we've toiled all night, caught nothing. But I'll let it down at your word. And it says they caught a great number of fish and their net was breaking. See, that reminds me of John 10:10. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. Amen? So here they had this abundant catch of fish, you know, so much so that they had two boats about to sink. They had so many fish. And their net was breaking. They had so much. Also, we see Jesus said, in Matthew, they followed and they immediately left the boat and they followed him. And Jesus went about teaching, preaching, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. He was showing them what it's going to be like when you follow me. Whenever you give up what you're doing and you follow me and listen to my word and do what I say, you'll have that abundant life. Their net was breaking. It was so much. And so we go along and then here's an interesting thing. In John, the 20th chapter, go over to John 20, the 19th verse. It said, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. Now, let me have you a little backstory here. This is Resurrection Sunday evening, okay? That morning, resurrection morning, Jesus had resurrected from the grave. That Mary and Martha had went out to the grave site, and you know he wasn't there. He's not here. He's gone, you know. And the grave was open and it was empty, and so then that and then they went back and told the other disciples, you know, and so then that evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled, for fear of the Jews, here's what you want to look at. These guys, they'd been following Jesus for 3 years. He'd told them what was going to happen. He already told them, well, there's going to be a time here when they're going to take me and they're going to, you know, scourge me and then they're going to crucify me and they're going to kill me. You know, of course, Peter said, you know, not on my watch. You know, that's not going to happen on my watch. That's whenever Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You don't have in mind the things of men, of God, but the things of men. And so anyway, so here they are, and they're in behind these closed doors for fear of the Jews. Because they thought, remember, once again, you have to remember the mindset of the Jews back then. They were waiting for a Messiah to come and establish a physical kingdom on earth. And so that's what they was following. That's who they thought they were. That's who they thought they was following. They thought Jesus was going to do that. And they didn't understand all that. And so now this one that they thought was going to be the Messiah and the King, he was the Messiah. He is our Messiah. Okay, don't get me wrong. But they thought, you know, well, man, he's failed. He's dead. They're going to kill us next. So they're hiding in the upper room here. And Jesus came and stood in the midst and said to them, peace be with you. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now it's interesting. When he looked at this, he said, "Peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." Well, how was it that the Father sent Jesus? When Jesus went into his ministry, 30 years old, he went into ministry, and he went and got water baptized, and then immediately the Spirit, in the form of a dove, came down from the heavens and made his abode upon him. He was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And so what he was saying here is that I'm going to send you out the same way. Now, we know in Luke 24:49 there, he told him, "You wait there in the city of Jerusalem until you've been endued with power from on high." But he's looking here and he said, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Now, this is an interesting thing. This is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit that they got at this time. This is when they were born again, because they were just like we were. They were dead in their sins and trespasses, okay? Just like all of us were before Jesus Christ. We were dead in our sins and trespasses, but he made us alive. Well, remember when God fashioned Adam back in Genesis? God fashioned Adam and he was a hunk of clay laying there on the ground, and God breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. His soul was born, he became alive, okay? That's where I'm trying to say. He became alive. He was a living soul, okay? And now, God breathed his own spirit into Adam, because we know Adam was like God. Adam named all the animals. He had the mind of Christ. He had, you know, he was like that, but he gave it up. But Adam, when God breathed into him, he became alive. This right here is whenever the disciples in the upper room that day were born again. See, nobody was born again until Jesus paid the price on the sacrifice on the cross. Well, he had just done that 3 days before. Now he's resurrected, and then that day he went to heaven, sprinkled his blood on the altar in heaven, and now he's come back. And so they're in there, and he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They were born again. Then he said, "If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now, this is not a proof text for a little man sitting in a box, okay? This is not a proof text that you're going to have a confession on a man sitting in a box. You go in and tell him all your sins, and he tells you, well, you do this, 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 and the penance you have to do in order to be forgiven. No, that's not what this is about. Jesus said that if we forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. So, in other words, if old Billy Bob comes along and he does something and sins against me, and I forgive him, he's forgiven. That sin's forgiven. He says, if you retain the sins of any, they're retained. In other words, okay, so Billy Bob does something against me and he sins against me, and I don't forgive him. I got unforgiveness towards him. Okay, now everybody's bound up, aren't they? Everybody, he said, they are retained. Who's retaining them? If I have unforgiveness because of a sin that someone else did to me, and I have unforgiveness towards them, I'm the one that's retaining the sin. And that unforgiveness is going to allow a root of bitterness to grow in me and cause all kinds of trouble and defile many, according to Hebrews 12. So we talk about that. And so he's saying, whenever someone sins against you, you forgive them. And boom, it's done. But if you retain that sin, it's going to be retained. It's going to be on you, and you're going to suffer for it. And so when I put people through deliverance in a one-on-one deliverance session with me, I do it even also with group. I'll lead them in prayers to confess their sins. I have them confess the forefathers' sins and their own sins. And then when they get done with that, if they're in my office, I lay my hand on their head. And I say, now the Bible says if we confess our sins, Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the Bible also says, whosoever sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And therefore, now there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, in the name of Jesus, and I got my hand on their head like that, and I said, in the name of Jesus, I pronounce forgiveness over you. You are forgiven. And, you know, that right there is as... Excuse me. That right there has allowed a lot of people to get a lot of deliverance right there whenever they realize that they don't have that condemnation and they're not being condemned and that they realize that God has forgiven them. So anyway, this is where they got born again, okay? But here's what I want you to look at. Let's go down three verses, 26. After 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them, and Jesus came, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace to you. And he said to Thomas, reach your finger here and look at my hands, and reach your hand here, put it into my side. See, now, remember, if you've ever heard anybody talk about a doubting Thomas, this is where it came from. Because Thomas, the first time he came in, earlier in the chapter there, he came in and Thomas wasn't with them. And they told him about it. And Thomas said, no. Unless I put my hands in my finger in his holes in his body, put my hand in his wounds, I'm not going to believe. And so this is why Jesus said to him, put your hand right here, dude. Stick it right here in my side. He said, don't be unbelieving, but believing. Now that's what we need to understand today, folks. We need to not be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You know, we see a lot of miracles with our ministry and a lot of miraculous healings and stuff and people getting set free and all that and everything else. But from the very first time back in 1982 that I cast a demon out of somebody, I'm telling you, I've never had to see manifestations. I've never had to see things happening in order to believe that demons have to leave. The demons leave because of our authority when we use the name of Jesus. They don't leave because of us, but they leave because of the authority of the name of Jesus. And so, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. And so, that's really talking about us. Because we've not seen Jesus. We didn't walk with him for 3 years like they did. You know? And we didn't see him. We didn't see the hole in his side. We didn't see the holes in his hands and his feet. You know? But we believed. So, here's what I want you to look at. With all of this in John, what I brought out this with John is that these guys, he had called them and he said, follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. They immediately left their nets. I mean, boom, just like that. They left their nets and followed him, you know, and James and John and Peter and Andrew. And so here they're going. And whenever they did and they listened to his word and followed him, and did what he said, they caught an abundance of fish, so much so that their net was breaking. And now, fear had closed the doors of faith and experience. They saw him going about the cities, going about preaching the gospel, healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. They had that experience. They've seen what he had done. He taught them. And they had, you know, their faith had risen up. And so he says here, but then, I mean, he told them, he said, y'all feed them. Now, they'd seen him feed thousands of people with two fish, a loaf of bread, you know. I mean, they saw all that. They had that experience of walking with him. But fear had closed the doors of faith and experience. So we can't allow that fear to come in and close that door, you know, cause us to be hidden behind something. Here's, and why? Because see, the title here, are you following or abandoning the call? Every one of us has this call. Follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. Every one of us has been called into a ministry of reconciliation, reconciling sinners to God through the blood of Jesus. We've all been given that ministry of reconciliation. You know, he told us that in the Word. And so we all have this call. We're all fishers of men. I mean, it was last year when we went to Puerto Vallarta, not the one this year, but the one last year when we went. And we went down there and we had a little bit of free time one day. And we was walking down on the beach and we saw this fisherman. And he'd walk out into the ocean there with his net, and he'd cast that net out, and he had one of those nets that when he pulled the string, it would pull that net together and catch anything that was in underneath that net, he'd catch. And he'd pull that and he'd carry it back up, and he was fishing for a little minnow. You know, he's catching fish about, I don't know, 3 or 4 inches long, little minnows for bigger fish. And he'd catch about 25, 30 of them at a time. He'd walk out there and cast that net out, drag it back in, come back in. And so my wife and I went over and talked to him. And we said, it's fascinating, you know. I mean, he's casting a net. He's catching fish. It was pretty neat, you know. And so we went over talking to him and everything. And come to find out, we got to talking about Jesus, and as we always do. And he said, yeah, he said, I used to go to this church, and he named a church. We had seen the church out there on the highway. We saw the church he was talking about. And he said, but my wife died a couple of years ago, and he said, I've just kind of quit going. And so we sat there and talked to him, and we led him in a prayer of dedication to rededicate his life. And he told us, you know, we were talking about being fishers of men. He said he used to do that all the time. He used to go out and evangelize and everything. And he rededicated his life right there, standing on the beach with all this net and these fish and everything. And he said, you know, he said, I'm going back. I'm going to be a fisher of men again. And I thought, man, that's really neat. The whole set there, you know, I mean, with the net and the fish and everything, I thought, wow, it's almost biblical, you know. And so, but anyway, this guy said, I'm going to go back and be a fisher of men. And that's what we're all called to, have this ministry of reconciliation. We're all have a call to win souls. Okay, doesn't mean we're all fivefold ministry evangelists. Okay, but we're all called into the ministry of reconciliation. Now let's go down to John 21, and let's see how they abandoned the call here. John 21, the first 6 verses. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and in this way he showed himself: Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, sons of Zebedee, and 2 others of his disciples were together. And Peter said to them, you know, here I thought this guy was going to be the Messiah. I thought he was going to set up a kingdom. I was going to be in his kingdom. I was going to be this and everything else. He said, but it didn't work out. He said, I'm just going to go fishing. I'm going to go fishing. And they said to him, we're going with you also. And they went out and immediately got into the boat. And once again, that night, they caught nothing. I'm telling you here, folks, here's what's going to happen to you. If we abandon this call that God has on us, all of our efforts will come to nothing. I mean, I had a call of God on my life in 1977. I knew it. My pastor knew it. Some other pastor friends of mine knew it. But I was going to start a construction company, and I was going to, you know, make $1 million and then go into ministry and be easier on everybody, you know. And well, so I fought God for 2 years. And whenever I went to Bible college, I had to sell all that equipment and everything, and I was $10,000 in debt. when I went to Bible college. And so, I was out there fishing. I was doing all my fishing. Man, I was a fishing. I was a working and everything else and losing money all the time. And I was catching nothing. See, these guys, what they said was, we're going to go back to what we did before. We're going to go fishing. I'm just going to go fishing. And they went out and they abandoned the call of being fishers of men. And that night they caught nothing. Now, when the morning had come, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, children, have you any food? I can just see this. You know, Jesus had called them earlier. He called them and he said, you'll be a fisher of men. And he said, if you'll cast your net over on that side, go out in the deep or put it over here, you'll catch a lot. And so here they are out that night and they caught nothing. And Jesus says, hey guys, how you doing out there? How's that doing? You doing your own thing and not doing what I called you to do. How's that working out for you right now? And they said, no, that's not working out for us. And he said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And so they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. They weren't able to bring it in because of the multitude of fish. See, because once again, they did what Jesus told them to do. Whenever we try to do things on our own, we're not getting the word of the Lord. We're not getting the direction of the Lord. Things are not going to work out for you, folks. But if you'll listen and pray and listen and get the word of the Lord and get the direction of the Lord, you'll walk in the abundance of God. Okay? He said, and they caught a bundle of fish that they could not, multitude of fish, they couldn't even drag in their nets. Okay? And so, but now I asked you a while ago, I said, remember this one thing in Luke 5. Remember what happened when Jesus spoke to them, their calling in Luke 5? They caught so much fish, their net was breaking. Right? Okay, so now let's go to John 21. That's some more scriptures for you. John 21, 7 verse. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it's the Lord. Okay? We're just going on with the same story here. And so here he told him, he said, cast the net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some. And so here John, that's the disciple whom Jesus loved, which John said to Peter, it's the Lord. And when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he'd removed it, and plunged into the sea. Now, here's what I want you to think about. Remember I told you that guy down in Puerto Vallarta was walking out from the shore. He was walking out from the shore into the surf, and he's casting his net out there. He'd walk in and get water up to, maybe mid-thigh, to his knee or his mid-thigh, something like that, and cast that net out there. Now, this is about the same depth of the water that they was at here, because it says he plunged into the sea. He put on his outer garment. If the water was over his head, he would not have put on that outer garment and jumped in. He'd have drowned, and it'd have been too heavy for him, But he was going to go to shore, so he put his outer garment on, and he jumped into the sea. But it was probably not, but maybe at the most waist deep, okay? And so they plunged in the sea, and the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, dragging the net with fish. Then as soon as they had come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish which you have just caught. Now, here's what is interesting. They'd been fishing all night. They hadn't caught anything. And Jesus said, put your net out on the right side of the boat. Now, here's the question. Did he mean right side as right versus left? Or did he mean the correct side? You know, that's one of them things I always look at when I read stuff, you know. But, you know, it doesn't matter. It was the correct side, whatever side he said to put it on, you know. And so, but it did it, and they did it, and it said that they had so much that the other guys in the other boat come along and trying to drag the net with the fish. And yet when they got to land, Jesus already had a fire going, didn't he? And he already had fish on it and bread. Isn't that interesting? Where'd that fish come from? You know? Because I see how he fed the multitudes with a little bit of fish and bread. Here he's got fish and bread again. It's amazing. And so, and they didn't say anything. It said, Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. The net was not broken. I just want you to look at some things here. They went out the first time, and then they caught so many that their net was breaking. Now, this first time they did it, Jesus had not died on the cross yet. Jesus had not paid the price yet. Amen? So, he said, I'll make you fishers of men. But at that time, they did not have, well, one thing, the Holy Spirit had not been loosed on the earth yet. And he hadn't paid the price. He hadn't paid the sacrificial price for our sins and for the sins of all those people that they hadn't been done yet. And so whenever they caught all this fish, abundance, the net was breaking. But then after Jesus paid the price on the cross, after Jesus had, you know, went to heaven and sacrificed in heaven on the altar in heaven, and he came back and he's showing that his disciples, he's seeing his disciples and seeing here, they caught 153 large fish. That's a lot of fish when you're working off of a hand net. Okay? Now, I told the church the other day when I was preaching this, I don't know yet, but I feel there's some significance to the 153 because he numbered it. The other two time it was a multitude. They caught a large multitude of fish. Now it was 153. There's got to be some significance to that number. I just don't know what it is yet. I'll have to keep looking at it. I give the church, our whole church, the homework to research that, see if they can find that out. I speak to all you people out there in the internet. See if you can figure out what that 153 means. It's got to mean something. I just haven't figured it out yet. But the net was not broken. And what I'm saying is the sacrifice had been paid. The fish they was going to catch now, the fishers of men, the men they could catch now, they had something they could hold them with. They had the blood of Jesus that had been sacrificed. And so I just thought that was something interesting there. The net was not broken on that one. And Jesus said, come and eat breakfast. Yet none of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. And he came and took the bread, gave it to him, likewise the fish. And that was the third time he showed himself to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. And so my question to you tonight, as we started this out, are you following or abandoning the call to be fishers of men? See, I think with everything that's going on in the world right now, as crazy as things are, and, you know, Hamas attacking Israel, Iran attacking Israel, and we don't know, I haven't even seen any kind of news the last couple of days. I don't know what's going on over now, but I'm telling you, with the condition of the world right now, we need to be fishers of men. We need to be talking to people about Jesus, because people know what goes on. People in the world, they know what's going on over in Israel. They don't understand a lot of it, probably, but they see that, I mean, the headlines are, you know, possible World War III and stuff like that, so they're worried. And so it's kind of like Y2K. Whenever Y2K come around, everybody's worried about what's going to happen to the world. I said, take that as an opportunity to lead them to Jesus, you know, and take this, take the things that are happening now today and just ask them, are you ready to meet your maker? Because this possibly could happen, you know. You're not saying that it is going to happen. You're not saying anything else, but are you ready to meet your maker? And begin to talk to them about Jesus. Be a fisher of men, folks. See, there's a whole lot of people that have abandoned the calling. And that's a call that's on everybody. He's given us all the ministry of reconciliation. And so, you know, it's real important that you will continue in that calling. And so what I wanted to do tonight, here I got about 10 minutes left, and so I wanted to do some deliverance on y'all. I'm trying to do something, two things at one time here, you know. And so the important thing is, remember what happened with them? They allowed fear to close that door. And so I'm asking you today, have you allowed fear to close the door of faith and therefore abandon the calling to be fishers of men? See, that's a bad thing. And so we don't want to do it. So, okay, hold on just a second here. Okay. So I want you to, I want you all to just think about this, and I want to come against this right now. I want to lead everybody in some prayers. Let's just say, Father God, I ask you right now to forgive me. I repent for abandoning the call to be a fisher of men. I repent, ask you to forgive me, Lord. And in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bind every spirit of fear, every spirit of fear that would try to stop me from sharing the gospel, stop me from being a fisher of men. I bind every one of them right now. I bind the fear of rejection. I command it to go from you right now in Jesus' name. That fear of rejection, out right now. Fear of people rejecting you because you're sharing the Jesus with them, or fear of failure, afraid that you might not do it right, you might not. No, all that fear, I rebuke it right now in Jesus' name, and I command the fears to leave you. All fears, every bit of that fear has to go in Jesus' name. That fear of exposure, afraid that, you know, people will, you know, they'll start looking at you differently, and they'll start thinking of you as a Jesus freak or something. But all that, all those fears, fear of exposure, fear of rejection, fear of failure, every bit of fear of abandonment, afraid that your friends are going to leave you if you try to talk about Jesus. Well, let me tell you something. If you're talking about Jesus and they can't handle it and they leave, let them go. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bind all that fear of abandonment. I command it to go from you right now in Jesus' name, every bit of it. By the power of the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I command it to go. In Jesus' name, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I come against all the tormentors. Those tormentors that come in there and they torment you, and that you know, because the Bible says fear has torment, and so those that torment that comes in and says, well, you know, you've tried it before and it didn't work and you're not good enough at it and you know, you can't do this. I tell them to shut up right now. Those tormentors, everyone of condemnation that puts you down, tells you you can't be good enough at it, you can't do this. I bind that spirit right now that tells you that if you do it, you'll mess it up, and you'll mess it up so much they'll never go to Jesus. Bind it in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I tell it to shut up and get out of you right now. And I bind that fear. That fear that you will offend them. I break that stronghold right now in Jesus' name. All that fear that causes you to feel like you're going to offend them. And they'll get mad and never go to church. In the name of Jesus, I bind that fear of that abandoning and those people rejecting and abandoning the faith and never going to church. All that, I break it. That fear that you're going to offend somebody, I break that stronghold right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I bind every spirit that would try to cause you to abandon the call to be a fisher of men in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And I loose the peace of God. I loose the peace of God upon you that you'll have peace when you go to share the gospel. I loose the courage and the boldness. As Paul said, pray for me for boldness that I might speak the word of God as I should. I pray right now for you that you will have boldness to speak the word of God as you should in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I loose that upon you. I loose that boldness and that courage on you right now in Jesus' name that you will go forth as a mighty warrior of God, as a disciple of the Lord, the living God, and going forth as a fisher of men. I loose that in you right now to be those fisher of men in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
I say amen. Powerful word today. Are you following or abandoning the call? Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Philip, give out your contact information. Tell people
okay.
how they can reach you in the ministry, support it, and also give us some information on your schools that you do.
Well, the schools, I just finished my last one. I do those every other year. Those are schools of the deliverance, and the last one, we just did the last one a couple of weeks back, and so... if anybody is in the area of Syracuse, New York, we'll be up there next week. We'll be in Little Falls, New York, and Cornerstone Chapel in Little Falls, New York. We'll be there for a whole week ministering. That's up around Syracuse, just south of Syracuse, New York. And so anyway, we'll be there, but you can get a hold of us at drphilipmorse.org. That's Philip, it's got two L's, P-H-I-L-L-I-P, Morse, M-O-R-R-I-S.org. And all my materials on there, anything that you know, books, CDs, all that. You can even get the schools. You can buy the CDs from the schools that I just finished. And I'm not sure. The lady that does all the CDs and all that and everything, I know the last set was you could buy that whole school for $50 for the CDs. I'm not sure about the first three. I don't know how many CDs there were in there, but probably about $50 for each one. And there's four schools. You can get that. You can call the church at 281-843-4000. Leave a message for us. We'll get back to you. On my webpage, you can email me, and it will come in. It's info@drphilipmorse.org. And then we have our church webpage, is Restoration Church. That's rchighlands.org. RCHighlands.com. RC for Restoration Church Highlands. HIGHLANDS. RCHighlands.com. That's a church webpage. And 1609 Jones Road, Highlands, Texas. Out here, if you're in around in this area, we're out here across I-10, the other side of I-10 from Baytown. And so we'd love to have you out. We have services at 10:30 on Sunday morning. 7 o'clock, we have the Bible study on Wednesday night. And then now, this Friday is deliverance service here at the church. We do that the third Friday of every month. We have a deliverance service at 7 o'clock here at the church. And it just happens that this is this Saturday, or this Friday, we're doing that. It's the third Friday. We're doing it this Friday. And so, yeah, we'd love to have you out there. And I've been talking to a church somewhere down around Sugarland, Richmond, somewhere down there. And we're going to be going down there and doing a seminar down there with them. And so, yeah, everything's doing good, but we'd love to have you come out, see us, get a hold of us, you know. And we do one-on-one deliverances, and we do group services. We go to churches, and I usually go to church, and I just go with a free will offering, you know. They transport me there, feed us while we're there, put us up in a place to stay, and a free will offering, and we go to churches. We go where God opens the door. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's awesome.
Well, praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord, brother. Thank you for coming on tonight. Great message. I'll get this up in the archive shortly. And give me a date for May that works for you.
Okay. Sure will.
Okay. I'll look for your text.
I'll get you.
God bless
and
you, my friend.
Don't forget, email me that link for that cayenne pepper you were talking about.
You know what I did is I just posted my Facebook wall, and I CC'd you on it. And
there you go. Okay.
I encourage everybody to pick it up. That's a brand I use. It's probably the best on the market. You can get it right on Amazon. And quarter teaspoon every day, up to 3 times a day if you need it. God bless you, my friend.
Okay. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. Folks, we're going to continue the marathon tonight. Stand by. Okay, I want to save this. Coming up next, John Gogan. Then we've got Deborah Vells, and then King Rand Ritchie. We're doing a 6-show marathon today. We did our first program at 4 a.m. Eastern Time with Katrina McKay. It was almost a 3-hour show. And I've got that uploaded for you. You don't want to miss that one. It's called Being Mad at God. Healing from Being Mad at God, The Wild Ride Back in Love. By Katrina Loves. That's up in the archive right now. And then I'm going to get tonight's programs uploaded here shortly. So lift up in prayer David Measures, Gary Stafford, Elvis Newhart, Terry Jefferson. And with Dr. Morris's report, that's 5 people that have been ill. And we all need prayer here on this network. The devil's on the warpath here. He does not like deliverance ministry. All these gentlemen are involved in it, and we fight back. It's good news that attacks come. That means we're doing some damage to the enemy, but we do need prayer, one for the other. Amen, that we be healed and can get back in the battle. Okay. Tomorrow morning, 10 a.m. Eastern, that's 3 p.m. UK, we're going to have Michael Cummins. Michael Cummins tomorrow. Brother Elvis is not able to be with us tomorrow, but we will get him back on soon. Okay, what else do I need to mention? Website, OmegaManRadio.com. That's where you can go to get all these shows that we're doing. We have some new ways that you can support the network if you'd like to. Give people opportunities that don't use PayPal, for example. We've got Zelle, GoFundMe, Cash App, Venmo, Apple Cash, Google Pay, Strike App, crypto, and a mailing address. If you want to give, there is certainly a way you can give, about 10 ways till Sunday. So thank you again for fueling these programs. So we live day to day, week to week, believe in the Lord for the ability to continue this show and do this show. And we're here for you. We'll go as far as we can. Archives are all free. Help yourself. My website, again, OmegaManRadio.com. That's all I got to say about that. Okay, let's save this program. We'll be back in just a moment.